And so the Word of God, who had existed before time began, now breaks into history. And Jesus came with a job to do, to die for the sins of everyone. And the result of his death and resurrection was a radical change in the basis of our relationship with God. There are many pictures used in the Bible to describe Jesus. And we learn a lot about people from what they say. But Jesus described himself as the door, as the good shepherd, as living water, as bread, as the way, the truth, and the life. But as I said earlier, John begins his gospel account by describing Jesus as the Word. And Jesus is God's Word in human form. And he teaches the truth about God. Listen to what John tells us in his gospel. Chris is going to read for us.
Our reading comes from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 10 to 18. John, chapter 1, verses 10 to 18. And you can find this on page 117 of the Good News Bible. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'He comes after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born.' Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side, he has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
God is real. Jesus is the living Word of God. And so John tells us that the Word became flesh. The Message Bible puts it like this: the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. So God, above time and space, breaks into his world in the person of Jesus. And John describes the historical moment when God in Christ came to live among us. But we're told that he was not generally recognized by a world in rebellion against God. And perhaps the question for us too is, do we recognize that Jesus, the baby celebrated at Christmas, And do we recognize him as the living word of God? I'm sure that within each one of us there is the desire, a longing for God. But I wonder how often when we get near to him or hear his voice, we run away. We try to avoid him. And there are many reasons why we try to avoid him. Maybe we're afraid to face him because we feel guilty, or we're angry with him and feel that he has let us down. Or perhaps we're afraid that he will make unreasonable demands on us. Or perhaps because he has disappointed us. And we also avoid God by saying, and how often have I said it? I wonder how often you've said it too. Just a minute. Or, I'm too busy. Now, when that happens, we just know, don't we, that we are putting off meeting with God. We want to hear about God, we want to know if he exists, and we set out to find the truth, to find out if God is real. But then, for whatever reason, we do not complete the search. We make excuses and avoid him and his word, Jesus. Now, generally speaking, the Jews of Israel never gave thought to the possibility that their God did not exist. It was taken for granted, just as spring follows winter and day follows night. So God exists, and that is that. And the Bible makes no attempt to prove the existence of God. That's not a problem. God does exist, is real. But the problem for the Hebrew people was not God's existence, but the experience of God and the encounter with God, which came about through the birth of Jesus, the living Word, the Messiah. And so John tells us in that reading that Jesus was not received by his own people. They couldn't take on board what he had to say about himself. And in a way, they left him at the manger. But of course, in more recent times, we have started to ask questions. Does God exist? Now, maybe we came to the manger this Christmas, but have left Jesus there. Just at the point where God says to us, I do exist. I am with you. I love you. I care for you. I am committed to you. We don't stop to listen to what he has to say. We don't recognize that Jesus, the baby celebrated at Christmas, is the living word of God. But John goes on to tell us that some did receive Jesus and believed in him. John was among those who believed, and in his gospel insists that if we are to come to know God, we need the faith to believe that God has taken the initiative and revealed himself in the person of Jesus, the Word made flesh. And John tells us that Jesus comes to reveal to us what God is like. And in verse 14 we read, the Word became a human being, and full of grace and truth, lived among us. And John probably means that the divine presence, which it was believed, was especially located in the tabernacle and later on in the temple, now came to dwell in the man, Jesus. Now, whether or not this gospel was written by the disciple that Jesus loved, It was definitely written by a disciple who loved Jesus. John wrote with one aim in mind, to introduce his readers to the Jesus he himself had encountered. But we don't simply have the testimony of John. There are other eyewitnesses, others who believed. John the Baptist, who described Jesus as being the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. As Andrew, after having spent a few hours with Jesus, just knew that he had found the Messiah. And he went and told the good news to his brother Simon. And then there was Philip, who knew he had met the one whom Moses had written about. And Nathanael, who recognized Jesus as being the Son of God. Now, we often say that seeing is believing. And by that, we don't necessarily mean that we ourselves have to see something to believe it. Just so long as someone reliable has witnessed an event, we shall believe the account. I believe there was once a man named Julius Caesar, a general of Rome. I'm prepared to believe that there was a chap by the name of Shakespeare who wrote pretty good plays and poetry. Now, I have met these people, but I have it on reliable authority that they were real enough. People have seen them, met them, talked with them, and noticed their impact on civilization. Many people, and I've mentioned some of them, claim to see one man who said he was God come among us. He was Jesus of Nazareth, of course. And by the things he did and the things he said, lots of people were persuaded that he was indeed God. And that in Jesus, God had broken into history to reveal himself. It's not the kind of thing you can perhaps prove. You either accept it or you don't. Some Christians wrote great statements about God. We call them creeds. We sang this morning, I believe in Jesus Christ, and so on. A creed. But they are only statements of what other people thought about God. They were written down not because their authors were convinced that they had written ultimate truths, but rather to correct widespread error. And just as you never get to know a person merely by hearing what others say of him, so God cannot be known from what people say about them, about him, in the creeds. You ask a Christian how he or she knows that God exists, and the answer is invariably, I just know. I'm convinced that there is a God. I believe. For Christians, there are lots of plausible reasons for believing in God, but the clinching point is beyond all realms, all reasons. It is the claim that Jesus is raised from the dead, and it is the observation that people who were once frightened and who cowered behind closed doors suddenly took to the streets and spread the good news across the world that God was in Christ, drawing the world to himself. Know that God exists is a discovery we make as we get on with living and wonder why we live and for what purpose do things exist and what really matters. Know for one person, conviction about God may come through thinking. For another, God may be found in beauty. And yet, another person, God may be found through other people who have faith. And sometimes God is found at the source of strength and courage in moments of despair or suffering. But whenever God is really found, it is with conviction of certainty. the conviction that makes proof unnecessary. You see, Christianity is not about facts, but about faith. At the end of the day, God asks us to trust him. And the real proving of God's existence is one which each of us must make individually. Only you can prove to your satisfaction that God is real by trusting him with your life. And it was to help us in that task that Jesus came among us and was crucified and is risen. Jesus makes us certain of God, for in Jesus mankind could see God expressed through voice, through tears, and through healing hands. And never before had God's qualities of tenderness and compassion and patience, kindness and faithfully been so clearly seen. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "I am full of confidence. I know who I trust, who I believe." I don't know whether you've ever been on a walk and said, "Well, we'll just go round the next corner, round the next bend, and then we'll turn back." But somehow you are drawn to the next bend and the next and the next. Or maybe you've walked up a hill or a mountain and headed for false summits on the way. It looked like the top, but when you reach it, you find the real summit is higher than you thought. If we continue round the next bend or upwards, we will find that God is a bit like that. As we travel with him, questions get answered, only to be replaced by others which need investigating. And maybe that is God's way of keeping us travelling along with him, his way of encouraging us to know him better. However much understanding and awareness we grasp, there is always more than we can comprehend, more to discover, more excitement ahead. Jesus, the living Word, came to help us understand more of God, and by believing or putting our trust in him, we can be saved and liberated. But we can also run away, turn a blind eye to God's offer, and reject it. And with rejecting it, reject all the hope it contains. Of course, the choice is ours. When we found Jesus, we have found God. So as we make our way through 2016, may God help each one of us. Maybe for the first time, or perhaps in a new and exciting way, to recognise that the baby celebrated at Christmas is the living Word of God. That God is real. Amen.